Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. We're continuing on a roll for a great show. I'd like to welcome on the line Kathy Cram and Eileen Wasserman. Good morning, ladies. How are you today?
Good morning, Sarah.
That's great. Good. We've got a connection to the Boston area and to the Philadelphia area. So let me introduce my two colleagues. Kathy is the Shipley Professor of Management at Boston University School of Management, where her 30-plus career journey has led to internationally recognized teaching, scholarly published work, and several books focused on relational learning and quality of work life. Kathy is specifically known for work on peer coaching, mentoring circles, and developmental networks. And for anyone who's followed our show, she was actually my very first guest back in 2008 with a segment that we had called Mentorship, Sponsorship, and All the Flavors in Between, where we spotlighted her new book, Mentoring at Work. Eileen Wasserman is president of ICW Consulting, based outside of Philadelphia. She's had over 30 years of experience in organizational consulting, leadership development, and executive coaching. Eileen specifically looks to help clients leverage multiple dimensions of both domestic and global diversity by enhancing communication and collaboration. And she teaches at the graduate level and also speaks at countless conferences. So Eileen and Kathy, we have them here today to talk about their work, as well as I'd like to plant the seeds for listeners and those who are listening to the podcast afterwards, an exciting workshop that they've launched called Mentoring, Coaching, and Developmental Networks, Creating and Sustaining High-Quality Relationships at Work. It's scheduled for this July 22nd through the 25th at the Cape Cod Institute, so book your flights early. So again, welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
I'd like to first hear the story of how the two of you met. So, Kathy, perhaps you could start out, and then Eileen can either attest or correct.
Well, that's a great question. We enjoy reflecting upon. It was quite a few years ago we met. Eileen contacted me at the recommendation of a mutual colleague, and we had a great conversation then, particularly around cross-gender and cross-racial mentoring. Mm-hmm. And then we met again 10 or 15 years later at the Academy of Management, where we were both attending a panel related to mentorship and high-quality relationships. And we decided we wanted to do work together, and we've been working together ever since. We also happen to have all our children went to Tufts University together, so we have that to share as well.
Maybe you can give us some additional indications. Your work, of course, has been involved in mentorship and sponsorship. Maybe our audience would appreciate knowing what's the difference between those.
Sure. Well, my original work was on mentorship as it existed in the 80s and the 90s, a fairly traditional relationship between a senior manager, perhaps, and a junior manager that existed primarily to guide and promote and help the junior person learn to navigate a particular career. It was, as the world has changed and evolved, there's very little of traditional mentorship that still goes on.
Coaching is just a different dynamic, isn't it, than it has been in the past, or mentorship
right.
in particular?
What we see is shorter-term relationships, ones that take place both inside and outside the workplace. Sponsorship can also be more of a distanced relationship. There isn't necessarily the kind of intimacy that you might see in mentorship, which is a longer-term mm-hmm. connection. But over the years, the last few years, I've really come to see that because of the pace of change and how often people are changing jobs, changing organizations, and changing careers, we don't see those longer-term highly intimate connections that we saw in a more stable period of our economy.
That's
right. So I encourage people to think more broadly, to think about sponsors to think about peers who can be a source of coaching, to That's think right. about people outside the workplace, like a spouse or a parent or someone in the community that can also provide wisdom and guidance. And that's the whole point of the work Eileen and I are doing now, is to help educate people that we don't have to just look for the traditional mentor, but we can look for coaches, both inside and outside a particular career path or organization, and we can enlist family members and friends as guides as
That's
well.
Right. Eileen, perhaps you could expand this conversation around peer coaching. What does that mean?
Peer coaching is a wonderful opportunity to look at relationships that you have on a peer level as opportunities for high-quality relations and growth. I think building on what I heard Kathy saying, at this point in the economy and in the job market, oftentimes people are feeling hesitant to be vulnerable with somebody,
yeah, that's right.
particularly somebody in a position of power and authority over them. So peer coaching offers an opportunity to get authentic feedback and to practice being authentic in a relationship where you're more comfortable being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. And that you can take risks and that you can, you know, not feel that you're going to be evaluated at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in a sense, you are being evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
But as I always say, two people can say the very same evaluative comment to me. And depending on the quality of the relationship and the safety that we've built, I will take that very differently.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's what we talk about, is creating relationships where there's a safety net.
And so you two, part of the workshop you've got coming up here this summer, you're going to introduce, I think, really some relatively new concepts on relationships, and you've tacked in that word developmental relationships.
Right.
Kathy,
right.
tell us a little bit what you mean by that.
Yeah, well, it really comes out of our acknowledgement that any relationship built on trust and rapport and the safety net that Eileen just referred to has the potential to be a developmental relationship. So what we mean by developmental relationship is a relationship in which both parties have the opportunity to learn,
mm-hmm.
to learn new skills, to become more self-aware, to start looking at the world in a slightly different way as a result of questions that might be asked by his or her partner. So a developmental relationship includes mentoring in the traditional and newer formats. It includes coaching. It includes peer relationships and all the others that we've mentioned so far. But the idea is for both partners to take action to help develop a high-quality relationship in which there is mutual learning and there is mutual regard. And so what we'll be doing in the workshop is helping people practice doing this and reflecting on the experiences they've had back at work as well as the experiences they'll have at the workshop.
You know, Eileen, both you and Kathy, of course, have been deeply immersed in academic research as well at different points of your life. And I always smile when, I had the pleasure of coming in after the fact to do it, and later in my life, of course, at Kathy's encouragement to pursue doctorate work. The whole idea of doing a qualitative discussion with someone, an interview, I'll never forget, I finally got it when someone said, take the word interview and slice it in half, and it's an interview. And so that you're really sharing knowledge between one another, and no person really is a one-upmanship, because at the end of the day, it's all about revealing new knowledge. Or as Kathy, you just said, it's about taking the relationship to a new place. Did I get that right, Eileen?
Yeah. And again, I love what you said about inter and view. Because when you are in that peer relationship mm-hmm. or a developmental relationship, you are growing not only through the feedback of the other, but the person who is offering the feedback is also learning something about themselves around what they notice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And in fact, you know, I'm sure, Kathy, you would often say that quite often it's not the answers that's so important to this kind of exchange. It's the questions I would
Absolutely.
Pose.
Absolutely. That's such an important part of what we hope to convey and focus on at the workshop is what questions really bring people further along in their own development. And also, how do you share your own story in a way that's going to enable you to connect meaningfully with these potential others?
Well, and we know it, we talk about that constantly on this show, is this power of storytelling. I know, Eileen, that's been rich in the kind of consulting and coaching work you've done over the years, hasn't it?
Oh, it's a huge part, central to the work that I do and that we do together. If we could take the notion of the kinds of questions we ask each other and the kinds of stories that we invite each other to tell, that helps us to remember experiences that have been of value that we may not have present in mind. One of the things that Kathy talked about when she first talked about mentoring was that people who have been important in our lives and career may not be people that we would initially attach the term mentor to.
Mm-hmm. All right, fair.
Similarly, mm-hmm. growthful developmental relationships, important relationships in our lives, we may not label as such until we're invited mm-hmm. to tell a story in a particular way.
And isn't it true when you, both of you, I'm sure, you've gone into a coaching situation and asked people to tell a story, they tell it to you, and then they stop themselves midstream and they say, you know, come to think about it, I've never told this before. I've mm-hmm. never thought of it in this relationship
right.
or in this situation. And, oh, by the way, I need now to go back and tell that person what an impact they had on me.
Exactly, exactly. And you just exemplified what Eileen and I hope will happen at the workshop, because we're going to ask people, we're going to start with them pairing up and telling each other their stories of relationships at work.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, we know, and I'm sure you've piloted a lot of these techniques already, but they aren't necessarily the happy-go-lucky stories sometimes, right? It's
exactly.
about that boss that really drove me nuts and so on and so
exactly.
forth.
Exactly. In fact, we have 5 half days, and we'll spend 1 whole half day looking at problematic relationships. Mm-hmm. And Eileen has a really well-grounded way of helping people look at difficult relationships in a way that looks for the potential and how to intervene to make it more effective.
So, Eileen, were these techniques that you developed because you had to unpack situations you found yourself stuck in over the years?
You know, it's interesting. Early in my career, I did a lot of work around diversity in organizations and looking at creating inclusive cultures. Mm-hmm. And I was privy to conversations and stories from people that were so challenging, more challenging than we could have even imagined.
Yeah.
And it was a turn in my approach to my work in the late 90s where I was looking more at the generative aspects of these things. And it was when we, and Kathy and I do this in our work a lot, started to talk about turning around a situation that had been challenging, or taking a situation that was challenging and perhaps was not yet resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And if it had been resolved in a way that you would have wished, what would have happened? And just talking about the possibilities that happen in transforming a relationship help people to identify tools at their own disposal.
That's right. We're speaking again with Kathy Cram. She's a professor of management at Boston University, as well as Eileen Wasserman. She's president of ICW Consulting based outside of Philadelphia. They've got an exciting workshop coming up, and you can learn about it by going to www.cape.org. It's called The Opportunity is going to be about mentoring, coaching, and developmental networks. High-quality relationships, creating and sustaining them at work. So we talked about developmental relationships. Let's go to that next level, though. It includes, then, both parties, so we're really stepping into that zone of talking about developmental networks.
Right.
So, Kathy, maybe you can go from the individual
yeah.
one-to-one to this idea of connecting the dots and then the value
right.
what's
so,
being transferred.
Yeah. Yeah, so it occurred to us a number of years ago now, almost 10 years ago, that given the world and how it's changed, individuals probably need more than one mentor or coach at any given time. The problems are so complex and the pace of change is so fast. And we started to look, and we saw that the most successful people did have a handful of relationships that were developmental. Included among them were the different types that we talked about today already. So the idea is to encourage each person to enlist others who they think would be excellent partners for developmental relationships. And these others may be people they already know, or they may be people they don't yet know, but they identify the individual as someone they admire, they'd like to get to know, and then to figure out how to enlist them in their development. So we do spend time talking about what does it mean to enlist another person into a relationship with you as part of your personal, you know, we could call it a personal board of directors.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
but Eileen, you've got to, when we do those kind of things, though, we have to kind of, in some regards, suspend some of our expectations, because we might get some rejections or we might see some misfits, but then also know that the mutual investment time involved in such a process.
Yes. And I want to continue to talk about how we in the workshop are going to address the personal skills in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is looking at how somebody has already done that.
Right.
So we're going to have people map what kinds of growth needs that they need professionally and personally, and then make a list of people in their support system, in their developmental network, and look at who addresses which need and where there are gaps. And also, Kathy and I put an emphasis on looking at networks being diverse in many ways, in many dimensions of diversity. And so they will actually, at the workshop, be able to design their own map of what they already have,
mm-hmm.
identify the gaps, identify people that may be able to fill those gaps, and look at it as a recruitment process
mm-hmm.
so that if they have a rejection, they will just look at that as how to do that in a way that you don't take that personally.
Exactly, and also that it's not a roadblock, but rather it's a signpost to go in a different direction.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and Kathy, I know, I believe we've talked a number of times, too. Sometimes we do a map like this, who's on our personal board of directors, as well as we probably should assess the board of directors in our head. You know, some of the things that maybe some members that need to have their stipend pulled, and how do you exit someone elegantly? I assume that's part of the workshop at some point, to say, how do we reconstitute what we already have? And it could be time to say, thank you very much, see you next turn.
Yeah, you know, we haven't built that in directly, but I'm sure it's a question that's going to come up. How do you gracefully move on from a relationship that's no longer serving you?
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, we need to delve more into what's going on at the time, and because in some cases it's a natural departure.
Sure, exactly. You know? It's an inflection point in someone's career.
Yeah.
And Zara, I don't know if this is what you intended, but what I heard you say when you were talking about the board of directors that we carry in our head
mm-hmm.
is the voices of the critic.
Exactly. Our beliefs,
and the very many ways that we continue to carry the voices of the critic, regardless of whether it echoes somebody's mm-hmm. voice from when we were 5 years old or from yesterday.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, Kathy and Eileen, as our listeners might be interested, of course, they could take a look at www.cape.org. This is going to be a very experiential 3 to 4 days. So, of course, part of it will be you can almost, if you go incognito, you can, but it's also going to be calling upon you to be a very active participant. The other opportunity, of course, is to learn from the cohort group. So do you have a sense of the individuals you've attracted so far, or who do you think is going to join in for this wonderful experience?
Yeah, I think they're going to be experienced professionals either in the fields of HR and OD or out of the mental health profession. And it's mostly people who have, as part of their work, to help others mm-hmm. build mentoring and coaching relationships.
So
it's going to be an experienced group of people, and so far they're from very varied kinds of organizations, from private sector to public sector, nonprofit.
I would guess, based on Eileen's background, that's all by design, right, Eileen? Because you know that
definitely.
Power of diversity.
Definitely. The
yeah.
more diversity that we attract, the richer the week will be.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right. The opportunity to work together as colleagues, you know, again, this workshop, of course, is a culmination of many a story, I suspect, between the two of you. Perhaps, Eileen, you could mention engagement and just how the two of you and Kathy together have your own developmental relationship and thus a network that you've seen then manifest in an experience with serving a client. Can you think of an example or a publication or a book you did or something of that sort?
Well, the first example that comes to mind is how our research and articles on the scholar practitioner have come to pass. And we were working on a consulting engagement together, and at the same time, we were doing the rest of our lives, which for me was predominantly consulting but also mm-hmm. teaching, and for Kathy was predominantly teaching but also consulting. And we noticed that we were well seasoned in the place that we spent most of our time, Kathy in academia and me in the consulting field. But we were pushing ourselves when it came to the other part of ourselves. And part of that was that institutionally, the structures that we were mm-hmm. working within didn't support the both. And that was the source of what has been two articles that we have written on what it means to be both a scholar and a practitioner.
Yes, and of course, Kathy, you can answer this or you can relate further, because you were one that mentored me to take that leap of faith and go engage in doctorate
That's
work.
Right.
That was a
That was.
Now, it's interesting, even, Eileen, that you'd say a scholar practitioner, whereas I've been trained to say a practitioner scholar.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But truly that crossover.
I'm sorry?
I said yes. It's truly a reflection of the base I came from, of course,
yeah,
being a practitioner
exactly.
and in the working world. But again, for our listeners, that's really one of the most exciting things going on these days, is this amalgamation of those who have come with a rich experience out in the commercial or nonprofit or public service area, and complementing it with those of you who've had the luxury and the fortitude, Kathy, to stay in the academic research, think out their world, but to bring this all together.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say one more thing about my relationship with Eileen, is that I really feel empowered mm-hmm. to take my work out into the world when I'm in connection with Eileen, because she knows that world of practice a lot better than I do. So it helps me feel safe and empowered. And I think that's why we exemplify a developmental relationship, because we get different sources of support from each other.
And I would say that I conversely feel supported and validated for the academic aspect of my life, writing and teaching, when Kathy validates that. So I think that we have been, for ourselves, very much of what Kathy just said, a developmental relationship.
I was thinking, which is about what the workshop was all about. In fact, if I could take that into language that perhaps more of our listeners would get, would be that when scholarly individuals such as Kathy write, it truly is an experience of when in Rome you have to write like the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
But that when Kathy wants to give birth to those documents into the practitioner world, having a partner like Eileen to kind of shift the content so it can resonate, and vice versa, Eileen, of course, when you'd want to do scholarly publications, I don't know about you, but the first one I wrote, I almost couldn't read my own writing. So that's the power. And whether we talk about folks about writing or how we converse in meetings, how we conduct ourselves at a networking event, how do we pitch, you know, getting a funding grant for our not-for-profit? The idea of having developmental relationships and these networks can pull upon skills that not one person,
exactly,
humanly possible, although maybe on a fringe, could probably encompass both.
Yeah,
developmental networks, creating and sustaining high-quality relationships at work. You can visit www.cape.org to learn more about this event that's coming up this July. Ladies, thanks so much for adding to our show, right on top of what we're all about here at Circles of Change. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks, Art. Great to talk to you.
As always, a pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.